I know, I was worried. And maybe you should wear open. I would not have had any sound. I would have made it here.
Maybe.
Yeah, but the fish would be like... 80.
What
it should be. Construction.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We built. Okay. I had my team was cardiologist.
We're going to call this meeting to order.
And we put them in the pool. It matters. I don't want to sit there. He's going to
make it 32
cold. They're going to the point. So remember the owl fan who was smoking up. And imagine that fan, which is moist.
Roll call.
Okay. So, roll call. Okay. So, Commissioner Maurice Roberts.
Here.
Commissioner Kathy Altman.
Present.
Commissioner Kathy Dong.
Here.
Okay. Vice Chair Manon Getzey. Commissioner Darren Gregg. And Chair Becky Quintero.
Present.
Okay. We have quorum.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry. I was having a hard time logging in. Manon is here.
Oh, good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I need a motion to approve our minutes as read.
Yeah. I put a motion out to approve the minutes as read.
I'll second the motion.
Maurice, roll call.
Commissioner Kathy Dong.
Aye.
Commissioner Kathy Altman. Commissioner Maurice Roberts.
Aye.
Vice Chair Manon Getzey.
Aye.
Chair Becky Quintero.
Aye.
Okay.
Thanks. Now we have call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. We have Enrique Vega.
Aye. You guys could just share these pictures. I'm going to make too many copies here. I'll be talking about this park here. It doesn't look the same way. These pictures are from about 33 years ago. Right, so my name is Enrique Vega. I've been living here all my life. My parents have been here. My grandparents are here before it became a state. This park, it's called the Road to Watch Park now. I'm trying to get it named after my dad, since we're the ones that did about almost all the work for free. We put in hundreds and hundreds of hours. We planted 53 trees on November 7th, 1992, because I didn't want it to look like this blight that it looks like right here. Then about 15 years later, my sister started the Rose Neighborhood Association. She got a grant. They put two ramadas, walkways, water, and that was the community. So it was the community that planted the trees. 0 points for City of Tucson. It was my sister that got the grant. 0 points for Tucson. My parents got the children's playground. And my parents helped get that bridge. So we want to name it after my dad. My dad died. The Parks and Recreation director came over and visited with me for about an hour and a half. I talked her ear off. So anyway, my dad's... I want it to be named after my dad for all the work that we did, my sister and I. But we don't want to take the name after, since my father died in October. So my dad was in the Navy. My dad graduated from Tucson High in 55. I joined the Marines. I graduated from South Point High School in 82. Came back, and this is what our community looked like, a dump. And just like the Mexican-American neighborhoods that they tore down to build a community center, they used the word blight. Because that's how they used to describe Mexican-American people. So I guess blight is what we get if we're the only ones living in that neighborhood. But like I said, after I got out of the Marines in 1987, started going to FEMA, and I organized. We got like 100 friends. We showed up, planted 53 trees. I had all the permits. And... you want to go look at the park now? It's not an eyesore. So I was almost 30 years old. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to wait till I was 80 till the city did something, but now the city's doing something. Well, all right, fine. But we still have a 30-year head start on you. So any work that you do, I mean, okay, fine, but it's the taxpayer that's paying for it. It's not the people that actually did all the work for free. My dad was about 85 years old. He was the president of the Neighborhood Association. He just died. Like I said, he was going to be 91 years old. And my sister Amanda started the Neighborhood Association. She got the grant. My parents got the children's playground and that bridge. And I just want, and I don't see why we have to pay $10,000 to have that name when we did all the work. So I'd like to get the, again, Ms. Hamway came over. I've spoken to Diana multiple times. I was here earlier this year. I spoke. I spoke at the city council. I just hung up with the city manager's office and let them know that I'm here to address the same issue that I'm going to keep on addressing until, I'm not going to fork out the $10,000, but if the city didn't do any of the work, then I don't know why we need to fork out the $10,000. So if you can make some kind of a, I don't know how many parks in Tucson, of the 100 parks in Tucson that the people actually put together. It wasn't, I didn't grow up and have a park in my neighborhood. So now that we do have a park, I want my father to be acknowledged. I want a Henry M. Vega family park, community park, whatever, jingle. Henry M. Vega, my dad, born in Tucson, raised in Tucson. Class of 55, the largest graduating class in the United States. Graduated from NEU, was a school teacher at South Point. Involved in the community, a lifetime of community involvement.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. If you could help me out accomplishing getting that park named after my father.
Thank you.
And I'll leave my number if anybody wants my telephone number. It's 602-327-8731. And I think it's embarrassing that we have to fork out the money when we're the ones that did all the work.
Do we have anyone online that would like to speak to the commission?
Yeah, because Gabriel's with Ward 5. Yeah. No, it's on the phone, so I think they're okay.
All right, next on our agenda, we have 10 minutes for the splash pad status update. Who's taking this one?
TJ, you were looking into that one.
You know, we're talking about JO?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just probably need to redo the latch. I don't know when. You know, one of the things we need to look at is how we're going to do that latch. That has not been done yet. And once we figure it out, I'm sure it's not hard to rectify.
So it's ongoing in terms of making sure that we comply. So I've seen the picture of the facility, and actually Sierra happened to be over there last week. So for you to know that the splash pad is open, the gate is open, and the current...
And the bathroom.
And the bathrooms are open. But the knob or the latch for it is fairly high.
It is fairly high.
So we need to figure out a way to get it to be wheelchair accessible.
Which pool is this?
It's the splash pad. It's the splash pad at Jesse Owens.
Thank you.
All the bathrooms have the accessible wheelchairs.
So each, so the only thing I would say is the bathrooms are behind where the fence is. Each splash pad is laid out a little differently. So I couldn't say that they're all consistently managed the same.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the same splash pad that, in a call to the audience, a member or a community member brought up some safety concerns because of that broken latch, correct? So
it's not that it's broken. His frustration is that when it's open, to make sure that also people know that the bathroom's accessible, the gate is ajar. Okay. And doesn't like the idea that a kid could...
The children, yeah, he brought up a child that did get out. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, is there anything that that they're doing security-wise, safety-wise, to mitigate until the latch is repaired?
So the issue is not the latch. The issue is that we, per meeting what we're required in terms of accessibility, we're leaving the gate open. Yes. He would prefer the gate to be latched. So we need to figure out a modification that would allow latching it, where we would not be obstructing someone who is not with a caregiver to get in. That's where a bit of the struggle is lying. The thing is that not all of our, like, I'm trying to think of the other one. Freedom's the other one we talked about. It's the same way. The gate lies open, and it indicates for people that are driving by that the splash pad is open to the public. Can't think of other ones in that same format. Do we keep the gates closed at Purple Heart?
I don't think there is a gate.
Yeah, there's two.
Or it's a small, but it's really small.
Fence. It's a small,
like 3 feet all the way around.
So that's part of the challenge, is that some of these facilities are a little different. And then also if the parents are trying to confirm that hours are operational.
Yeah,
like we're in Nepal, the bathroom's completely separate.
Yeah.
My concern, if we try to keep it closed, is we could end up with a complaint, a separate complaint.
An ADA complaint.
Right, an ADA complaint. So there's not, so we will get to a resolution. We just don't have an immediate update on a resolution because we're trying to figure out what modification to the gate could happen to comply.
But we're not violating any policies right now, right?
Correct. We are, yeah. I mean, anybody can access the splash pad and the bathrooms right now. Where is it? Sorry. I thought I heard something over here. Okay.
Any other questions, Manon, Maurice? No?
No, thank you for all the explanations. That was helpful.
Thank you. Pool update, pool temperature mitigation efforts.
Yes, Kathy had asked about this. Not, sorry, Kathy Alden.
Kathy A. I did. And the aquatics report that I just read for this month actually helped explain some of the issue to me, in that while temperatures in pools are important, because too hot in a lap pool is too hot, and too cold in a therapeutic pool is too cold, and when you have family pools, everybody likes them bordering on the too hot area. The information from the aquatics report that was helpful to me is that I could see what the ratio was of users versus lap swimmers, and realize part of your dilemma is there's a lot of users, and at that, like Catalina has a lot of lap swimmers, and it's the biggest one that has the highest percentage of lap swimmers. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be what it'll be. And if you guys are okay with temperature waters that are a little bit heart unhealthy from my point of view, I'll get over it.
I know TJ looked into what are solutions, aerators, right? But there's concerns with the use of them. Which we'd
like, for example, like Catalina would need four. That's $28,000. And then somebody needs to turn it on at night and turn it off in the morning. And then we got to hope that no one steals it during the night.
And the water loss too, right? The evaporation is what you
were... You can't run it during the day because of the amount of water loss, chemical loss, and it's so dependent on the ambient temperature. So if the air is 100, the water's going to stay. Yeah, it's going to stay 100. So if we don't do it when the air temp's 80, it won't come down.
No, understood. I'm a swimmer and I swim at other pools and pools that do use aerators all day long, and I understand how it works. So.
Okay. Yeah. And that's an easy solution when you're at one pool at one site, and that's the only pool you have to worry about.
And if it's only lap swimmers, it's a great solution. But it's
we're getting feedback. Oh, there you go. Results.
Sorry about that. I must have been horrible.
Meaning.
So thank you and good luck about the pool tubs. Hope it works out that you keep most of them very warm.
Thank you. Case program development.
So if you recall in March or so, we talked about, Greg had gone over like how compound consolidation and we were introducing a PACE team. So invited Danny, she's our PACE supervisor to, so you could see that we have our lead now in place. She can kind of talk through what she's been doing and has it been a month?
Yeah, it's been a little bit over a month. So with the PACE program, it's a concerted effort to address encampments taking place at different park locations or throughout our park locations. So with PACE, we have two different components of the program. My team responds to protocol submissions. So protocol submissions from the community, we are encouraging folks when you see something, say something, and there's a really accessible link that you can access on the city website where you report a encampment starting to take place. And so my team will go out, ask them to relocate, pick up debris, kind of initiate that process. And then if we need like collaboration or extra resources from corresponding departments, we initiate that process as well. And we're also working with the community too. So I've started meeting with neighborhood associations slowly but surely and just want to get an idea of how the community is viewing parks, especially in light of just houseless community and local park areas and how we can use our team to hopefully address some of those concerns. So I've been in the role for only 4 weeks or so, but we've started to make some good progress addressing a lot of the protocols coming in and developing good schedules so that we were able to make ongoing observations. So it's been good.
Are you doing the meeting on the 29th with the neighborhoods?
Unfortunately, no. If I'm back in time,
yeah,
I'm driving all day. So if I get back in.
She might have a conflict. I'll be there.
Oh, you'll be.
For sure. Robert, I think, will be there too. Liz Morales from the city manager's office, as well as Christina Swallow, will also be on site.
I want to remind everybody where that's at.
It's going to be at Fire Central. Wait, let me just make sure. Because we moved it because we anticipated a bigger turnout than originally expected. So give me 1 second. I don't think they've updated the invite, but I heard Fire Central, but I will communicate through Diana and make sure the invite gets out to everybody. And the topic is building welcoming, safe, and vibrant city parks. So we've done a pretty wide, casted a pretty wide net of folks that, especially if you have anything to do with Anza Park, Escare Park, Santa Rita, Armory, Reed, and I can't remember the sixth one. Esteban, Anza, Escare, Armory, Santa Rita, and Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's really also doing some engagement and education around what we are doing as a commitment to parks.
Okay. Kathy?
Thank you. Is there a list of partnerships that the PACE program has with the organizations, such as like mental health organizations, that you can find somewhere on the website for anybody in the community who wants to support PACE directly or support those organizations that help PACE and others as well? Is there a list of those organizations?
Not for the PACE information on the website. That could be something we look into. We really employ resources from housing. And so we pull any resources that we do offer is from their list of partnerships, and they are primarily responding to any questions about mental health resources since they're the subject matter experts and they have a lot of teams dedicated to that process. So, no, not specifically on, like, a PACE partnership website.
But if there's something you are looking for at Cashew Community Health
Safety
and Wellness, I always mess it up. Anyway, And then I got hungry because I think of a cashew. But in reality, so the ideal situation is if Danny does, or Linda or John need to trigger someone to come out to the park and offer assistance, we're working with that team who have trained navigators, outreach resource, network, behavioral, and actually I found out today even a nurse practitioner on staff. And so I think it's funny, this is the second time mental health has come up about PACE and what PACE can do. And it reminds me that we're just going to have to keep reminding, like, our boundary is what is protecting the park, advocating on behalf of the park, and then connecting the human element to the resources that they need while doing that. And I mean, the team, they have a huge heart and they want all the pamphlets and all the list of resources. So we're going to make sure, Lee from Cashew has committed to giving us some of those paper handouts and contacts that can be. But I've already seen one where Danny has said, this person has all their paperwork. They want shelter. Can you please respond? So that's a good example of what we're hoping she can accomplish, her and the team. And then sometimes they go and nothing's there. It just needs a cleanup. So it's, every day is a little different, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Do some parks in the commission award program. This is an action item. So you all read the.
Yeah.
The application.
The proposal for.
Yeah. So September 2nd is when it begins, but I think we need a motion for that to accept it.
Mm-hmm. So, since we do have new members, it might be good for Diana to kind of talk through what the process is.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good program, annual program that we have. The awards program organizes individuals, teams, nonprofit organizations, different businesses, that contribute to the community and improving and supporting the city's park system. And the community members submit nominations through the award nomination form, and which highlight those who enhance the facilities, programs, and services for Tucson's residents and the community. And historically, the program begins the first week of September and runs through a 2-week time period. And so we're looking at September 2nd for the start date.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. How are nominations requests publicized and solicited?
Through different means, on our website, social media platforms. News release that Sierra sent out to the public.
And does each ward send it out as well?
I think.
Yeah, some of them have picked it up in the past and put it in their newsletter and helped to promote it. So Sierra is takes the lead on kind of pushing out the information and making sure it's available. Sierra, do we put it on Newsnet as well?
Yeah, we put it on Newsnet. We put it in our newsletter, website, social media, just all the things that she mentioned. The ward offices are sent the information. Whether or not they put it in their newsletter is up to them, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we do our all city employees and parks employees are invited to submit as well.
Thank you.
We just typically see a wide variety of different submittals, and it's pretty cool. We hear also some really last year we had a fitness instructor who mm-hmm. had many submittals and folks that talked about what it meant to them to take her class. So it's cool. Get to hear advocacy for our team.
Good. So any questions, Maurice or Manon?
No question.
I don't have any question, but I just want to compliment. This is a much better form than I think I've ever seen. So this is a lot better. And in the beginning, you know, they didn't have a lot of room to make actual comments, and they have the opportunity to do this here. And in the past, we've had a lot of applicants, and it was very hard to choose because we didn't have enough information. So this is going to be great. Thank you.
I agree. So do I have a motion to
start is on September the 2nd.
I'd like to make a motion that we proceed with the Parks and Rec Commission Award nominations on September 2nd.
Second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Mona. Heard you. Okay, that's good. Okay, we're good. Meeting schedule. This was brought up by Antonio, but Antonio could not make the meetings anymore, and so he is no longer a commissioner. But he was requesting the meeting schedule. Kathy, you had also a question about meeting schedule.
Yes, I just have a concern because as we come up on another school year, I am taking time off of work. Wednesdays are a little bit more flexible for me because we have early release. However, I am needed on site to support teacher and staff professional learning on Wednesdays. So taking even one day off every month has become difficult. Even a half an hour will help me help to make quorum here if it's just pushed back a half an hour and I can get here without having to take an entire hour off of that Wednesday schedule. Given how important it is for me to continue to lead my school successfully, I'm hoping that we can make that request. Otherwise, I don't know if I can continue to be a commissioner just because of you know, conflict and commitment. But I also know everybody's working that 8-to-5 timeline. So I am very much passionate and committed to serving the city of Tucson in this way. I'll do what I can to make it work. There might be times where I won't be able to.
Manon, you have a hand up.
Manon. I do. As somebody who's been on this commission for 4 years and has been on other commissions, I can say that other commissions have changed the times and days as it worked, but these were not commissions that had millions and millions and millions of dollars going through it yearly. We have had news cameras in our commission semi-regularly. We have people who come to our commission meetings who are partners to Parks for years. We've been in the same slot in the same room since 2012, I believe. We have a huge staff of people who have to arrange their schedule around this. I've personally been arranging my schedule around this time frame for a very long time, and I, you know, have other commitments as well, including doctor's appointments, some of which I have to schedule a year out. This has been, you know, in my mind as a time that I always have open, and I have made a commitment to be here. I also made sure when I became a commissioner, I could be here. I sat in on several commissions before I even joined the commission to see if I wanted to be here. And I would be very, very hesitant to start messing around with the time schedule, given what I have seen in the past around how hard it is to find a time in the Mesquite Room that is available for everyone who needs it. There's a lot of people who are coming in. There's also a lot of parking that is required for some of our meetings. And, you know, if we start messing around with this, then it starts to become, it sets a precedent. And I'm very uncomfortable with a Parks Commission that oversees the kinds of funds that Parks and Rec Commission does to just start moving things around because one commissioner can't make it or another commissioner can't make it. This was something we were all told in the time frame that it was going to be when we joined. Thank you.
Thank you. Maurice, did you have a comment, question?
Yes, I understand Kathy's quandary. At the same token, I will go along with Manon's statements. Okay, there's a lot of people involved, and you know, changing schedule for a whole commission is not that easy. Okay, we're not dealing with a local neighborhood association. We're talking about the Tucson Parks and Recreation Department. All those folks sitting at the table have a function, okay, in that institution. And, you know, it's changing the schedule to accommodate one person actually changes the schedule for everybody. So there's a plus. The plus is that given the option, you can always go online, like the way I am doing it today. Okay, if that makes easier on you, Kathy, I think that probably would be a good thing. Okay. I think that, you know, you do bring, you know, a lot of, you know, very positive to the commission. And, you know, I would be really very sorry if you cannot make our meetings. At the same token, again, like I said, you know, this is, we're not dealing about a local neighborhood association. This is much more important than that. So I will go along with the Manon's feeling about it, and I cannot really go along with it. I would stick to the original schedule.
Thank you. Kathy, do you have any comments?
No.
I tend to agree with Manon with keeping it at 3:30, because we do have meetings that are like right behind us, and sometimes we need to get out of here on time so other things can come in and do their meetings. And so it is difficult for our staff to, that half hour is important for everybody. So sorry. But this isn't an action item. This was just information.
Just information.
So
for discussion.
Right. So there's no action to be taken today.
I have a question. When was the last time that consideration of schedule was considered? Because I am new to the commission, so that's why I ask, what's the timelines for considering these things? Like, does it get considered annually, or is it solely this is set and has been set for decades?
I think 2012, Manon, is that what you said?
As far as they have records, I think. Yeah, it's always been in the Mesquite Room at 3:30. And again, like other commissions do occasionally change, but they're more think tank commissions, like the CCES. They're a think tank commission. They're literally coming up with things to advise mayor and council about on their own, but they're not having call to the audience the way that we do. They rarely have that. So I feel like the citizens need to be able to find us easily and be able to show up to meetings easily. And you know, it's hard to make anything happen, but if things start getting flipped around, it's going to be very difficult for everyone. And as long as I've been here and as long as I've been watching these meetings, I bet Jennifer Shoplin out in the audience would probably know more than a lot of people, because she comes to the meetings all the time, long before I did. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think the better just, I don't, there's no outlined requirement for us to revisit time. It kind of happens the way that this came up as a topic, something to be discussed. And then, like Manon said, Diana requested from the clerk's office, like, how long do, going back, did they have records of showing it being at that time? So that's really all that we have for a reference point.
Thank you.
If we changed, it would have to be during working hours, I would assume, too. So, and that would be difficult for call to the audiences. So.
Right. Oh, Kathy.
So I think the difficulty for call to the audience is whoever can make it at this time anyway. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of community. Yeah, there's already a lot of community who can't make it at 3:30. So I think that's your weighing already, the pros and cons there. There's a great deal of community who can't even make it before 5. So, you know, I think no matter what you do, there's considerations to that degree. And because this is informational only, I knew this was not going to be something we take action on. Right. It is something, though, I think we should talk about, because, you know, every commission deserves to have conversations that keep it strong, maintained, and also consider accessibility to everyone who participates and values what it is that we do. So, and I know that there's no proof in my very short tenure here. I also do think that in the decisions I make and the decisions that each commissioner makes, we do show our value and and being present. And I think in person is always much better to attend. I know too many meetings where people are decision makers who only show up virtually, and I don't find that their participation is complete. So I find that it is, and while it does create accessibility, I think that virtual, and I did attend once virtually, but I think that to be committed is to show up. How do you show up, right? And not to say that anybody who's online isn't showing up regularly, right? I just think that there's a value that I personally have in being present. And so that's something to discuss also for all of the people who have call to the audience needs and all of the people who show up who are employees and staff members who have to be present. And I myself work in a school district where meetings are in the evening, where that's when we can attend, and it's not great, and we all have to make sacrifices to participate and be away from our families. It's always a conversation. So I knew this was not an action item. I just wanted to make sure that we talked about it, because I'm kind of sad and disappointed that Antonio can't be present anymore to represent the ward that he was selected to represent. And for whatever decisions he had to make, and part of it is he's the one that brought this up originally, and he's the one that wanted to have that conversation. So I wanted to carry it forward, not just for myself, because like I said, it would be immensely helpful. I will continue to do my best to serve the mayor as her appointee, and see what I can do, again, to make my own personal decisions to be a part of this commission that I do value, and to be present anytime that I can be. I just wanted to hear, what is the process? Has there been a process, and how do we discuss accessibility as a commission?
I'd like to add a couple more things here. There's a long history with this commission. When I came on this commission, this commission normally took a 3-month hiatus in the summer. And when I came on a month afterwards, everyone timed out and we couldn't even make quorum for 6 months. I spent a lot of time calling wards to encourage them to find people so that we can make quorum. They've had to change quorum standards because they're having such a hard time getting people on commissions. No matter what time they are. And one of the reasons that we decided as a commission to stay hybrid was to make this more accessible so more people could be part of this commission. And we also stopped having hiatuses because so much business became necessary. Now, if you look at your commissioner's handbook, what you will notice is that there are some rules and regs about how many meetings a commissioner can miss in the said time period. And it's pretty open, you know. I think anybody who wants to be here won't have a problem with that. And I think it's, you know, unfortunate anytime someone can't be at a meeting. I don't think I've missed more than one meeting a year, less than the time that I have been here. And usually it's been because something very significant was going on in my life. A family member had died or I was having surgery. I even managed to make one meeting after a surgery on the same day. So I feel like people, whether or not they are here in person or if they were here online, are showing up, especially if commissioners are taking the time to do park sites, walks, and to help the community be better served, which many of us have. Now, in the time that I've been here, Ward 1 has already had two commissioners come and go. Sometimes it's not necessarily about people wanting to show up. Sometimes it's just not their thing when they actually get here. I've seen at least 3 commissioners go in the last 4 years that didn't stay very long. So if we start moving meetings around for commissioners that we don't know are very serious if they're going to stay or not, that becomes really problematic towards the ones that have already put in the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reports and announcements. Parks and Rec commissioners, Maurice, do you have any announcements?
Yes. On July 2nd, there's going to be the grand opening of Armory Park. Now, I don't know if you folks have been around Armory Park recently, but it looks gorgeous. It was a tremendous job. I had a lot of misgivings since I've been working on the redesign of the park for the past couple of years. Went to numerous meetings with the city of Tucson and architects involved in the development. And, you know, there was a lot of give and take. Okay, the addition of a dog park was something new, okay, which, you know, had never happened over there, and now this is happening. There was a lot of discussions as far as the band shell. You know, band shell, in my mind, you know, I go back to the Hollywood Bowl. That's what a band shell is supposed to look like. So the different proposals that we had to go through sort of looked like some kind of gas station canopies. So it was a project. It took a number of meetings to get it together. But you know what? It looks gorgeous. The end result is unbelievable. Okay, so we're having a grand opening on July 2nd. Please come. There's going to be some really, really good musical acts playing there. And there's going to be, I understand, some food trucks, you know, whatnot. It's going to be party time in Armory Park. It starts at 6 o'clock, I think, until 9 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. So this is my announcement for this month, and I'm really happy to announce it because job well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Manan, your hand is still up, so I'm not sure if you were going to make an announcement.
Yes, I do have some announcements. I did want to say that I went to both of the ribbon cuttings at Palo Verde Park, and that was a tremendously good time. I've never seen so many people in such a good mood, and it was nice to see that. Joseph Blair gave a wonderful speech about his mother, and one of the things that he said that I thought was very interesting was that his mother was a twin, and she could outrun, outjump, outplay her brother, but she never had the opportunities. She actually is the one who taught him to run a lot of the plays that he later played in the league, and that's part of the reason why he wanted the basketball court to be named after his mother. And I just thought that was incredibly sweet. He was an amazing speaker. I had never heard him speak in person before, and he just really lit up the place. It was phenomenal. The courts were beautiful. The playground was amazing. The handicapped playground was really well done. I was really impressed, and everybody was super happy. So it was a very nice thing. I hope everybody goes and checks it out. Oh, and they're going to be, for the women, the older women who like to play basketball, they are creating a couple of nights where we get the court ourselves. So thanks. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Thank you. Happy. Which one wants to go first? Happy John.
I have no announcements.
No announcements?
I don't have any announcements either.
No announcements? No.
Except I'm looking forward to the skateboard park opening.
The skate park.
Because it's racing season.
I just want to thank the staff that has been helping me in the park lately. I've been had a lot of tree damage from the first storm, and all the tree branches came down. I was like, help me. And they did. So Alex Valencia and his team is great. So thank you for having great staff. So thank you. Okay. Go around the room. Agent, any updates?
So just as you're mentioning right now, we're kind of monsoon hit a little early this year. We weren't really expecting that. So we're just making sure that we're ready for that as the storms are going to start to roll in here. The field at Palo Verde, they're just about done, so we're hoping to see that open up here pretty soon. And then just continuing to run irrigation, try to keep the park green as we get through this heat wave here. Other than that, just the basic pruning, making sure the parks look good, cleaning them up, and pushing forward. All I got.
Andy? About a year ago, Lara had an idea about how to elevate the voices of frontline staff and how we can better hear from them about what situations they're going through and their roles. So she had this Knights of the Round Table idea, which I was like, oh, great, what is this lady getting me into? which it ended up being amazing. And so we did create round tables for our frontline staff. We created one for parks and one for rec.
I've been lucky enough for the last 10 months or so to get to meet with them monthly and kind of hear kind of barriers they're facing, successes, struggles, ideas, thoughts. And we really got to sit together and talk and have these really great open conversations where I got to meet a lot of staff that I may not have got to meet in my role. And we were able to put that into kind of a presentation format where we could bring it back to their leadership and sit down and really have discussions about kind of some of the things that they're facing, some of the things they want to improve and ideas that they have, and have this really open, candid conversation with leadership to make sure that they have a seat and a voice. We just had our first presentation for parks, and we've had two presentations for rec. And I think they went pretty well, and I just think it's a fun thing to share because it was a really great to kind of see our staff have that platform and to kind of hear from them as, you know, they're what make us so great. So just wanted to share that.
What kind of issues are they having?
Some of it is just communication, or they see things in operational processes where they see things the way they're scheduled and they're like, hey, we can't really get to this because we have to do this. And so it was really kind of being able to connect back with leadership and be like, okay, like maybe that isn't the best way to schedule this, or maybe there's better things we can do to meet more often, meet more frequent, and have better communication. But I do feel like those were kind of the top issues that we saw.
Kind of consistent on both sides.
Yeah.
How we can improve communication, how we can have them help us make decisions on order of things or how to approach things. So we're going to launch into round two. We're going to do it again, trying to keep it consistent. Mm-hmm. And then we were selected by National Parks and Recreation Association to present on the concept.
Helpful.
We actually just recently filmed a virtual, which was bizarre, virtual presentation because they wanted it to be available to virtual attendees. So kind of cool. So maybe it'll help to inspire others to do the same.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Summertime. All Kidco all the time. So Clements Kidco is having their talent show on Thursday. Summer Kidco as a whole is having their summer explosion on July 10th. That's when all the Kidco sites come together and have one big giant party at Kennedy Fiesta Grounds. And it is exciting.
Whew. You don't lose kids, do you?
We do our best to not lose them. That is one of our prime missions, is to have as many kids at the end of the day that we had at the beginning of the day. It's a goal. It's a work in progress. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we have no problem. We have the usual, you know, summer Kidco fun. I mean, and knock on wood, thus far things have been really good. But that's summer Kidco, and we don't stop there. So July 25th, we start registration for our fall school year Kidco. 19 sites, and you know, we're getting ready to start that madness. That should, there'll be more than half of those will fill up in the first 20 minutes on that day. It's a Saturday, so yay, it'll be great. And we'll go right from summer Kidco to school year Kidco. And then since I'm on the whole Kidco theme, summer Kidco participants love the pools and the splash pads. Just so you know. So thank you for letting there be water so that we can get the kids in there for just a little bit. They can just have a great time and they're not in the centers.
That's what we're there for.
Terrorizing the centers.
It makes them tired, but it also makes them hungry.
Mm-hmm. Which we like to get them good and tired so when their parents pick them up, we've done our job. If they go to sleep, we did our job.
So I'm sorry. A few more recreation updates. Besides all the summer programs, our sports unit just completed their field allocation for the fall and winter, which would be August through February. So that's field permits for all the sports fields, soccer, baseball. And that's going out to over 80 user groups. They're going to be emailing out permits this week. Cooling centers, we started that on June 1st. And that is basically five of our larger centers in our ward offices. or reward districts providing a cooling center space from 12 to 4 daily, even on holidays and Sundays, allowing people to get off the streets and get into cool space. That will continue through the end of September. And we do, just a reminder, after summer, because of all the summer programs, we will have some closures. All our rec centers will close down for 3 to 5 days based on the location. And that will be to kind of just do the deep clean, all the bigger projects, carpets, floors, and get them back up to standard. And then just for programming, El Pueblo will have their big Father's Day event this Friday. I know Father's Day just passed, but their event's this Friday, so they're expecting a good crowd for that. And, of course, we'll have our Armory re-grand opening on the 2nd next week, and our events team will be out there supporting that and looking forward to the park reopening.
So as Commissioner Altman mentioned, we have the groundbreaking for Cushing Street Skate Park. That is next Tuesday on the 30th of June. It'll be at 6 p.m. So in the evening. And then other construction news, we have over the month of June, we started under construction at Mirasol Park. And then in July, we will be starting at James Thomas Park, Rudy Garcia Park, and La Madera Park.
James Thomas and La Madera, and what else?
And Rudy Garcia Park.
Rudy Garcia.
On top of having Kitco at our facilities, full attendance has been very robust. Swim lessons are full, and we're backfilling every opportunity we have an opportunity to. Swim teams are very popular again this summer. I know we've had two sessions of meets already. We have two more Mondays of meets, and then they'll have their championship meet, as well as synchro has been going on throughout the city. We've already begun looking at our scheduling for the fall and programming for the fall, including, you know, aqua fitness classes, swimming lessons, adaptive lessons, adult lessons, swim fit for kids, across the city, and try to cover as much of the city as we can. And, I know that the aquatic maintenance team has been running ragged, trying to keep our pools open and safe. So it's a busy time.
And then, so Robert is joining us because he is our new deputy director for Parks and Rec. So last year we lost Donnie. And so now we've had a successful hire. So we won't make him do a report today. I didn't make him prep. He is my report. No, I'm just kidding. but happy to have him joining. And Greg is currently out on vacation, so that's why you don't see him here. But TJ mentioned full capacity for Learn to Swim, and a lot of that, I don't know if I mentioned last time that we got a partnership with Pima County Health, and that's how we were able to make the swim lessons free, which I think is amazing. And in the fall, they had enough money for us to try it out in the fall to do some targeted lessons for individuals or kiddos with disabilities. So I'm excited to see that, and they've signaled potentially being able to fund next year, so that's even better, right? And then we are definitely in the space of building towards Santa Rita also opening mid-August. Aaron mentioned about sending out the permits for those who are going to be using different fields. And so it's really exciting because that park already has groups that have committed to utilizing it. The commitment there is making it a vibrant park, changing what people think of when they think of that particular park. So I'm hoping you guys will come and check it out when we do that opening ceremony the weekend of the 15th and 16th. And today we launched a social media campaign, basically inviting folks that have ideas on how to activate that park and Armory Park. If they have ideas and they want to partner with us, to let us know so that we can do everything that we can to contribute it being an active and vibrant space. And I think we already got at least one for a new walking club that wants to host there. So hoping that'll build on some momentum.
So you said 15th and 16th of August?
Yeah, right now Councilmember Barajas is looking to do a two-day event or two days of activities. I think day one, the 15th, is kind of a little bit more of the formal side, cut the ribbon, and then day two, an outdoor movie, I think, is what she's trying to do with some other activities wrapped around it. She has a lot of ideas and passion for it, so I'm sure it's going to be full of fun. That's really what she envisions for the park.
So, moving right along, we have any future agenda items that be on the agenda for time?
Happy? No.
Okay. Manon, do you have any future agenda item suggestions?
No, thank you.
Maurice?
Yes. Okay, so we're finally getting a budget, so we know what we're going to be short of and what we're going to have to work with. So I approached a couple of sessions ago, something about the recreation center, the rec centers, which I called the community centers. So I'd like to have some kind of reflection. Okay, that should be on the agenda. What can we do with those rec centers to actually, you know, get some kind of profit out of them so that we could bring back, okay, some of the funding that was lost last year and improve on, you know, food quality, okay, and longer hours the way we had it previously. So I'd like to put this on the agenda since we're pretty much finished with the city budget now. And, let's get started on this. It's going to take a while to get it straight. Okay. I think it's going to be very progressive if you work it right. We're sitting in a bunch of buildings that are, you know, not really utilized, 100%. Okay. And we're also, you know, dealing with a shortage of funds that have cut down on social services, you know, for our elders. And I think we need to do something about it. Okay. I've said that for a while. And now comes the time to, you know, let's start the ball rolling here. And so I would like to put this on the agenda.
Well, thank you. Okay. July 22nd is our next meeting. What's the matter?
No.
Okay. It's just like, So we'll see you all at 3:30 next on July 22nd, perhaps. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
I'll second the motion. Okay, I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Everyone stay cool out there.
Yes, yeah, stay cool.
Is that Jasmine over there? Jasmine, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Can you recognize my laugh?
All right, I'm going to sign off, Maureen. See you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.